This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Washington Watch. We're broadcasting live from the annual National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, at the Opryland Gaylord Hotel. It's the largest gathering of Christian communicators in the world. Now, we arrived here just a few hours ago from Washington, D.C., where the body of the Reverend Billy Graham was lying in honor at the Capitol, only the fourth private citizen to have that honor. Well, coming up on today's show, corporate activism and the cost to shareholders. Many are fed up with the liberalism of corporate America. A familiar face to millions of Fox News viewers, Kelly Wright has been reporting on news events across the globe for over three decades. Kelly will join us in just a moment to talk about corporate activism, as well as his book, America's Hope in Troubled Times. And yesterday we spoke with a Nigerian pastor about the persecution and murder of Christians. Today, movie producer Steve Cleary joins us with a new movie that tells the story of Voice of Martyrs founder Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, who was imprisoned for 14 years in communist Romania for his faith in Christ. Tortured for Christ tells his story on the big screen. Also, Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk of court who went to jail. Remember, I visited her in jail. She went to jail defending her religious freedom. Later, she was exonerated by the state legislature and the governor. Well, she's out with a new book telling her story, Under God's Authority, the Kim Davis Story. She joins us later here on the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, we've talked about this so much. In fact, yesterday, talked about Delta Airlines weighing in the gun control issue, and it's maybe costing them a major tax credit in the state of Georgia. And corporate engagement in controversial social policy issues continues to become more commonplace, with business leaders collectively flexing their muscles in promotion and protest of issues that have included climate change, health care reform, gun control, as I mentioned, race relations, LGBTQ issues, gender and marriage equality. I mean, you name it. All of a sudden, corporate America have become social activists. Well, it may be costing them. And when it comes to sending the NFL a message, Papa John's, well, they seem to be delivering. After 6 months of back and forth with the league over its handling of the anthem crisis, the pizza chain delivered the wave goodbye to the NFL, cutting ties with the Football League. They said it was the dive in sales and the response from shareholders. With us now is Kelly Wright, Fox News Channel reporter, singer, motivational speaker, and author. And he also a resident of the Washington, D.C. area, and he joins us now. Kelly, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about this issue. I want to get to your book, Hope in Troubled Times. But I want to talk about this corporate activism. There's a price tag associated with that.
There is. There's a price tag. Well, actually, there's a price tag to individual actions as well.
Yes.
But when you look at it from a corporate standpoint, I think a lot of corporations are looking at the situations that we're exposed to in our society right now. Obviously, we're very divided along racial, political lines, and even faith lines. And that some corporations are beginning to react from not only the public pressure, but perhaps from what CEOs perceive to be problems that could, one, affect their bottom line.
Right.
Now, this tragedy that unfolded at Parkland, I think it has sent shockwaves and caused many people to shudder in terms of what do we do in order to implement something that would safeguard our children and our teachers. And I'm not here to cast my opinion about it, but I think the corporate activism that we're seeing that right now are based on what corporations and their board of directors and their CEOs are deeming necessary to take action. And to that end, when you act, there's going to be a response.
Right. Well, there was a time when corporations, they they provided a service, they provided a product, they did widgets, whatever it was, they did that, they focused on that. But we've seen in the last decade where corporations have become more of a player in really controversial public policy issues. Yeah. Now, this case with Papa John's, they weren't looking to get involved. They got drug in by the NFL and the controversy over the anthem. But it's interesting that they're responding, and I think this is the case. Ultimately, these corporations respond to the bottom line, and they were losing business. Yeah. And so they're now cutting ties with the NFL.
Yeah. And they were losing business because a lot of people spoke out against them. And so those are the risks that people take, that corporations take, even getting involved in the right. fray of our social issues and social justice reforms and things of that nature. And certainly the gun legislation reform, that's we're seeing more of that develop. I mean, FedEx took the approach, well, we're still going to give you the discounts, NRA, but we're going to also express that we disagree with some of the stance that you've taken in light of this recent tragedy. We would like to see some gun legislation, some modification of it. Of course, we had the president talking about that today, as well as members of Congress seeking ways of how they can deal with this issue. But FedEx took an approach of saying, we're going to stand with you, NRA, but we're also going to voice our opinions. Perhaps Delta could have done that. Yeah. That would have been just as effective, maybe not as effective as Delta thinks that it is, but now Delta's incurred a lot of wrath from other people.
It's like they're picking sides.
Exactly.
On these issues where, again, people, they fly Delta because they want to get someplace or they want, I'm a million miler with Delta Airlines.
Good for you. I haven't achieved that yet.
Well, unfortunately, I fly too much. But all I want to do, I want them to get me there safely and comfortably. I don't want them to give me their political spin.
And that's what's happening. A lot of people are entering into the political fray. A lot of corporations
Why this enticement to weigh in?
Let's look at the nature of what's going on in America right now. We're at a point wherein we're constantly bombarded with news from both sides of the aisle, the left, the right, and in between would be the American people trying to decide, well, which way do I go?
Right.
And corporations are, I think, feeling the same angst that American people are experiencing, but they're getting more involved because they have the dollars to do it, and they're expressing their political opinions. I don't think they should be doing that, actually.
Well, Kelly, is that coming from the boardroom, or is it coming from shareholders that are pushing them to get involved?
I think it's a combination of all of the above.
Okay.
And since I'm not in on the CEO's boardroom and his meetings, I would have to say it's coming from all of the above because, you know, you have people who are saying, do something. I support you. I fly, on your airlines. If there's something wrong, try to deal with it. But now I see corporations stepping out with foundations to help people, to lift them up. Now I see corporations stepping in to fights, and they're taking sides.
Yeah.
The only side I would like to see a corporation take is to always lift people up. If you're helping a charity.
Absolutely. No question. You have the, going back years, the Ford Foundation.
Yeah.
But now they've delved into more liberal causes. That, when you think about it, these corporations that have foundations or direct engagement, they're taking the profits they derive from your business to use against you on policy or cultural issues. And I think a lot of conservatives in particular, that's what we've talked, there's a Second Vote, which is an app which we promote. Dr. David Black, who originated that, lets people know what these corporations are engaged in. I think it's, I think as consumers, we should be responsible with where we spend our money.
Absolutely, we should be aware. That's part of consumer awareness. I'm glad that David Black launched that app because that allows a conservative or a person of faith to say, I don't want to buy that product because they support this particular situation that I don't really favor. This is going against my belief. It's going against my values. So I think the consumer needs to be armed with that kind of knowledge.
Kelly Wright, my guest. You're listening to Washington Watch. Kelly, you catch him on weekends, Fox News. Also doing some of the overnight newscasting as well. You've been in the media for a while.
For a while, yeah.
For a while, you've been reporting maybe, what, about three decades?
Three decades, maybe going to my fourth.
Well, let me tell you, I was a reporter a long time ago, I was a television reporter back in the early 90s in Baton Rouge. Your take on this, and I was on C-SPAN talking about this morning as we were discussing Billy Graham lying in honor there at the Capitol. I think America has become a much more politically polarized country.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it hurts me because I have often said that we are a better country than this. We were not, our founding fathers did not envision this. We are more polarized than ever before, not just along political lines, but racial lines. And
Do you think that's true on racial lines?
I think it's true. I mean, even today, I posted on my Facebook page one of the columns that Billy Graham had written about race. And he talked about how he had this relationship with Martin Luther King Jr. And he said racism is one of our biggest social justice problems, and this was written some time ago, in all fairness. But he went on to say that we have to look at racism as a sin. I look at political division as a sin. It's an affront to God when men and women can't come together and unite and have a seat at the table of brotherhood. If we don't start standing up for our nation and bringing our nation some healing and some reconciliation, we'll never have the transformative power that our founding fathers envisioned with those documents of the Constitution.
Is what we see playing, we were just talking about what was playing out at the NFL, which was a combination of race division, respect for America.
Right.
And I've never seen it that great, that pronounced.
Tony, it's all colliding right now. Yeah. I have a habit of saying, sometimes when you get caught up in the arguments, you find that words collide and divide.
Yeah.
Which is why I also like using music, because music harmonizes and unites.
Well, not when I sing.
Look, we can all sing together, though.
Okay.
We can always talk together.
I'll do backup
The bottom line, my point is, there's healing for our nation, but it comes as a result of us being honest and open and transparent in front of each other.
Well, let's talk. We're just almost out of time, but your book, America's Hope in Troubled Times, is that the theme?
That is the theme. That book I wrote several years ago, and it was almost predictive or prophetic in such a way as looking at the times in which we now live. So I've got to do a follow-up to it.
So part two is coming out?
Part two has to come out.
Well, I do agree. I don't think we're all going to agree.
No, we're not.
But I think we should be able to have a conversation.
We can have that conversation, but we can still take a seat at the table of brotherhood and be civil about it.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I mean, we can have strong differences. And I go back to my time in Louisiana in the legislature before partisanship really grasped and grabbed that state. We could have those debates and then go down and have a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
And I don't see that.
You're going
now
back to the days of Ronald Reagan and O'Neill.
Kelly Wright, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Good to talk with
you. Let's do it again.
We absolutely will. Folks, check it out. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Coming up next, a new film is set to release in March, retelling the story of the imprisoned Voice of the Martyrs founder, Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, entitled Tortured for Christ. The film's producer, Steve Cleary, joins us next here at the National Religious Broadcaster. Stick around. More Washington Watch to come.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. I might hear a little noise in the background. That's because we're on the road. We are in Nashville, Tennessee for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention on the floor here in the exhibit hall. All right, Monday, there's a movie coming out, a cinematic retelling of the testimony, the life story of Voice of Martyrs founder, Pastor Richard Wurmbrand. It was really the story that was told in his bestseller, Tortured for Christ. The movie is produced to honor the 50th anniversary of the book's 1967 release. Joining us now, Steve Cleary, producer of Tortured for Christ. Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, for having me.
Now, let me ask you this. The movie's coming out this Monday, one day only in theaters.
That's correct. There will be some encore events, but really we'll be in about 550 theaters, 7:30 at night, Monday, March 5th.
And folks can find out how to get tickets by going to the website, right?
They have to go to the website, torturedforchrist.com, to buy tickets. It's not a walk-in event, so it's more of a private event. So you buy tickets ahead of time and come enjoy the movie.
Okay. So, folks, you get that. If you didn't catch that, go to tonyperkins.com, follow the links over. But this coming Monday night, the motivation for this movie.
Well, that's a hard one. It's actually not a hard one. It's a long one. But I was very close to Richard and Sabina Wurmbrand, and I had the privilege of being with them the last 10 years of their life, which I'm sure is a lot different than different parts of their life. So I traveled with them extensively throughout the U.S. I was with them when they were sick in bed and even with them when they were passing on to heaven. And when I started with this project, I said, what would Richard say if he could speak in church one more time? What would be his last sermon? That was kind of my working title. And I said he would preach the same sermon he preached when he arrived over 50 years prior. He would preach the story in Tortured for Christ, which is really, it's really his sermon. It's a sermon to the Western Church. It's a story of love and forgiveness, that he's going to share the gospel no matter what, and even love the people that are preventing him and even torturing him for doing that.
Where was this movie filmed at?
When we talked to the director and the producer, they talked about different places we could shoot it, including the United States. And I said, no way, we have to shoot this in Romania. So we went to Romania, where the story actually took place. And miraculously, we were allowed to go into one of the prisons where Richard was tortured and was in solitary confinement for 3 years. And, I mean, it's just kind of even hard to talk about it now because we actually went into the solitary cell. And I remember Richard describing the cell to me perfectly. And I was standing in that cell, looking at the door, looking at the floor, looking at the bed, looking at the bucket, hearing the dripping water he talked about. So we actually filmed this as much as possible on location of where it actually took place.
Wow. So what is that facility today?
Jalava Prison is actually a working prison, but the place where they were prisoners were tortured is a museum. But it's not a museum like we would think where public people can go in and see. It's more of a museum, and government officials and people can go and they can look at what happened under communism. But it's actually still a working prison.
Of course, Romania today, now a much different country, as a result, really, of the church standing up there proclaiming truth, Ceausescu being ousted, and now a country that where the people enjoy freedom.
The change was miraculous, and a lot of people don't realize it was brought on by a lot of praying Christians and Christians willing to stand up. And they didn't revolt in the way of a fight. What they did is they actually protected a pastor that wanted to get beaten, so you know the story. And they surrounded him.
Fascinating story.
Richard tells it beautifully. He talked about kids bringing flowers to the soldiers. But somebody else told me that they actually witnessed the soldiers shooting each other. And you just think of the mass confusion of these people that are coming to them in love and protecting a pastor, and they didn't know what to do.
Let me ask you this question, Steve. What are you hoping that people leave the movie theater with?
It's an interesting thing that if you read Torch of a Christ, the book, which I assume a lot of your listeners have read,
yes,
you're
going to
see the word
classic.
You're going to see the word communism throughout that whole book. That's what
Which
Richard
is actually something
under.
That has been lost on a lot of people.
It has been lost, and especially a younger generation.
Yes.
But if I was to reprint that book and trade every time it was said communist or communism to Islam or Islamic terrorist, the book would ring exactly true yet again. And I think that's the hard message of this, is loving your enemies. Richard didn't say we need to love communists. He said we need to love our enemy. He didn't say we need to preach to communists. He said, I wanted to preach to the oppressor. And I think that's what the message is. His story was really one of love and forgiveness, of love and forgiveness. And that's really what sustained the Christians under communism and really sustained the Christians under any form of oppression or persecution today, is if they lose that, the hope is lost.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. My guest is, maybe Steve, I'll make
maybe
you
the host
and I'll be the guest. Steve Cleary, new movie coming out Monday, Tortured for Christ. But in this story, and in the story of the stand against communism, it did require these believers to stand for their faith and stand for truth in the face of great opposition and danger.
Absolutely. They never stopped doing what they were called to do. And even in prison, Richard would say, we continue to preach and pray, and when we were caught, we would be beaten. And he humorously said, we made a deal with the guards. We would preach, they would beat. We were both happy. So you couldn't stop preaching because you were beaten. And I think today, obviously, we always want to stand up for our religious rights, our religious freedoms, but when we don't have them, we can't stop. And for Richard, never wanted to see a single Christian suffer. But if a Christian suffered, it wasn't a reason to stop proclaiming and living the life of Christ.
Wow. Powerful story. Powerful book. The movie, I am sure, is going to be riveting. Steve Cleary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tony.
All right, folks, let me encourage you to check out the website. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. And get tickets for that movie Monday. And then following up, they're going to have showings in churches where you can show it in your church. But definitely a movie that folks need to see. All right, coming up next, Kim Davis, former Kentucky clerk of court who was jailed for standing on her Christian beliefs against same-sex marriages, will be here to discuss her experiences and her new book. And she's just sitting down. So don't go away, folks. We're coming back with Kim Davis right after this. Don't go away.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
This is Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm having a hard time keeping up with the days of the week. We are live from the Exhibit Hall at the National Religious Broadcasters here in Nashville, Tennessee. And joining me now, Kentucky County Clerk of Court, Kim Davis, who is a familiar voice on Washington Watch. She's been on the program many times, and she's been awarded the one of FRC's highest awards at the Values Voter Summit. And she joins us now with a new book that she has out, Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story. This true story goes behind the scenes to reveal how God gave this unlikely candidate a platform to defend marriage and religious freedom. Kim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Well, so good to see you. So your book is out. When did this come out?
It came out yesterday.
Wow. Good timing.
Yeah, good timing. No joke.
In fact, I don't know if you remember this, but when I came to see you in jail, that was the first day my book was out.
Yeah, and that's the first time I met you, too. Yeah. I thought, wonder why in the world this man's coming to see me.
I was on my way to New York, actually, to be on Megyn Kelly's show with my book coming out that day, and stopped over for a few of your close friends, about 500 of them that were rallying outside. Actually, it was more than that. I think it was about 1,000 or so that were rallying outside the county jail there.
Yeah, that was a very exciting day. Got released and only thought I was going to have a private meeting with Mike Huckabee. Instead, ended up getting released and going out there, and it was just a wonderful experience to be a part of.
It's been a journey.
Yeah. Yes, it has.
But let me ask you, God's been faithful.
Through it all, Tony, through it all. And I have no complaints in him through all of this. It's been, he has been steadfast and true. And I hope I can return that to him, because more than anything, I want to be found faithful.
I would say from all observations, you have been faithful. You have stood. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I mean, a lot of people I've had conversations with about going to jail. That's a difficult. It's easy to talk about. It's different when you have to do it. But you did not fold. You stood firm on the truth of Scripture, and God has given you a remarkable platform. As a result of that, you've been able to share your story and the importance of religious freedom with a lot of folks.
Yes, I have. God has truly blessed me in that area. I want to serve as an encouragement to people that they can know that truly, that if God brings them to something, that He'll bring them through it. And I don't ever want to be a wishy-washy Christian. You know, I don't want to give lip service to God. If I say I'm a Christian, I want to be a Christian, and I want to be sold out.
So what are people going to find in the book? Is it the behind the scenes? It's the jailhouse version. What's it going to tell us?
Well, listen, it is the story of me and my journey through this whole same-sex marriage drama and everything that the mainstream media did not want you to know or did not tell you.
You mean fake news?
Well, you know, it just tells my view of how things went and just a little inside, of what I've dealt with and how I dealt with it and what we faced. I want to encourage people that, because, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, but it's not when, you know, it's not if. God, if you're faced with this situation, but when?
If you stand for truth, biblical truth in this day, the challenge is coming.
Oh, you better believe it.
It is coming.
You better believe it.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah, most definitely.
So how's life for Kim Davis become? Has it settled down? How is it?
Well, you know, I still go to my job every day and do my job, and I love my job. I'm seeking re-election in that area, and I have no complaints. Life is good, and I think it's still funny. You know, I had an opportunity to go over to Romania.
And, I saw that.
To defend natural marriage, and it was just really.
That's a big battle. I didn't talk about that. We were just talking about Pastor Wormbrand, who was imprisoned in Romania. And that is a big debate that's happening over there. Unfortunately, George Soros and his funding is trying to undercut what the people of Romania are trying to do.
Yeah, it's the people there have the want to settle this issue. Mm-hmm. But I think they have a lot of fear, and there's a lot of political mumbo jumbo going on there.
Now, you have to catch a plane?
No, I'm driving home.
You're driving
home.
Mm-hmm. Can you stay around for a couple more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, we're up against a break, and I want to ask you a couple more questions if you can stick around.
Yeah.
Kim Davis, my guest from the bluegrass state of Kentucky, talking about her new book, just came out yesterday, Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story. We're going to continue our conversation with her, then take your phone calls here on this Wednesday edition of Washington Watch. So don't go away. Oh, I still got a little minute. I got another minute here. I don't want to give up that minute, Kim. I have a hard time hearing here on the floor of the convention.
It is noisy.
Where can folks get the book?
Definitely. They can go on lc.org, go to the store, and order it there.
Okay. So during the break, folks, go to tonyperkins.com. We got a link up there on the website. You can go over there and get you a copy of lc.org and find how to get copies, not just for yourself, but for your friends. It's a story that everybody needs to know. You'll get behind-the-scenes story of what really happened with Kim when she took a stand for marriage. Okay, folks, don't go away. We're going to come back, finish our conversation with Kim Davis, and then take your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I am Tony Perkins. We're broadcasting live from the convention floor of the National Religious Broadcasters. My guest is Kim Davis. She is just out with a new book, came out yesterday, Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story. Kim, clerk of court in Kentucky, county clerk of court, who just would not compromise her religious beliefs and simply sought to have those beliefs accommodated. What the scripture says, marriage is the union of a man and a woman. She could not put her signature on that, made accommodations for the same-sex couple. That was not good enough. They wanted to make an example out of her. And Kim, God has made an example out of you of what happens when you're faithful.
He has been very good to me, Tony. I can't, you know, if I'm an example for the world, to stand for what you believe in, for what the Word of God says, then I'll be that example.
How have people responded in Kentucky? They're back in at home.
My hometown is in the midst of a very liberal university. I am received very well by my constituents. The university is very, you know, hostile and toward me.
You know, we often are told, or, you know, Christians who believe in marriage as the union of a man and woman, which is what Jesus taught.
Right.
That we're the ones that hate, that we are, unkind, unloving. You know, I've not seen that on behalf of Christians. Now, I'm not saying there's not some Christians that have not been, you got the Fred Phelps type mm-hmm. out there. But you know where I see a consistent display of hatred and anger and bitterness is on behalf of those who want to take away our religious freedom.
Well, truly, you know, I the only negative thing that I have ever said through all of this is the word no. And, and I have said again time and time that this, for me, this has never been a homosexual or a lesbian issue. It's about standing up for the Word of God and not standing against something, you know, against somebody. But I am simply standing up for the Word of God.
And as I go back, and this point is made, I'm sure, in your book, that you were simply seeking your beliefs to be respected.
Very simple accommodation is all I requested, that my name and authority be removed from the license.
Now, as a result of your stand, the Kentucky legislature, the assembly there, has taken those steps to protect clerks like yourself.
They did, you know, and it has started with our elect governor of Matt Bevin. He had campaigned in support of me and also campaigned that his first executive act in office would be to sign an executive order removing the clerk's name and authority from the license, which is exactly what he did. And then our Senate and legislators codified that by passing a bill that actually revamped the marriage license itself and removed all the authority away from the clerk. So,
Kim Davis, always great to see you, and I really hope folks will get a copy of your book, Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story, so they can actually see, they can read it, because they saw certain things on the news, and, you know, some news outlets were fairer than others, maybe not many, but Washington Watch was.
Washington Watch was fair.
Very
good, yes.
But, you know, you had a great attorney, Matt Staver, and the team over at Liberty Counsel. Just great, great, great people. Can't say enough good things about them.
Yeah, they are wonderful.
And I just think people need to know the story. They need to know what is really happening in our country and the steps that you took and what happened and why. I just think extremely important.
Well, thank you. You know, more than anything, I want people to understand that their past doesn't prohibit them from serving God, but it is their testimony that makes them vessels that God will use and choose, and that through redemption and transformation, a wonderful, godly individual can arise to the call of God.
And that's why I think your story is so remarkable, and just, it's God's hand.
Yes, it is.
It's at work. Kim Davis, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you, Tony.
All right. Kim Davis, to find out more about getting a copy of her book, Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story, go to TonyPerkins.com or go to lc.org and get a copy of that. All right, just a news flash just came up, and that is, you take that.
You want me to sign up?
Yeah, would you sign that? She's going to sign a book for me, folks. Just news flash just came up. We've talked about Russell Vaught. He was nominated by Donald Trump to be the deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget. Now, we even played clips of this going back several months. I mean, he's been lingering there for months. Bernie Sanders attacked him for his Christian faith. Then Dianne Feinstein jumped on as well. Well, just moments ago, he was confirmed 50-49 with the vice president once again casting the tie-breaking vote. Again, Russell Vaught confirmed to be deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget, a good, strong Christian man, being opposed by the Democrats because of his Christian faith. And that's not speculation. That was based on their statements that they made in the committee hearing. Vice President once again breaking a tie on the Senate floor. All right, let's, we got a few minutes here. I want to go back to our very first topic, Papa John's announcing that they are severing ties with the NFL because of the NFL controversy with the national anthem. 866-372-7234. Still got the same number. I was just double-checking. 866-372-7234. Number to call to get on the conversation. Here's what I want to know. What do you think about Papa John's severing the ties to the NFL? No longer going to be doing advertising with the NFL because of the dive in sales. They say that the people that are not watching the NFL football games because of the controversy over the anthem it's hurt their sales, and so they want to separate themselves from the NFL. You know, this is one of those ways where you can voice your opinions with your dollars and what you buy, who you shop with. And is this going to make you this Friday night go out and buy a Papa John's pizza to send a message that you stand with their decision? That's one way you reinforce these things, by the way. I'm not doing an advertisement for Papa John's, but, I mean, that is one way in which you reinforce these positive corporate decisions when you say, okay, you did the right thing, and so I'm going to stand with you. All right, let's go to Delaware, Ohio, and let's talk to Joe. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A great guest, Kim Davis. Great to see a Christian conservative stand for something. I'd love to see her or the governor run for Mitch McConnell's seat in the Senate, get a real Christian conservative in there. And I'd like to encourage all the Christian conservatives to get out and vote and support their candidates in the primaries and the general election. And please don't send your money to the Republican establishment. Look at who the Tea Party's endorsing. Look at who the Freedom Caucus is endorsing. You know, chances are, like in Ohio, for example, if you have a Kasich endorsing someone, most likely that candidate's a Rhino establishment Republican. We don't need any more of those in Washington. Same thing in Arizona. If McCain or Flake are endorsing them in Arizona, chances are they're a Rhino. And we just need the conservatives to come out in force and get true conservatives in there. We've got some great candidates out there. Marshall Blackburn in Tennessee. I hope the Christian conservatives will get behind the people and help support them. Thanks for all you do.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for the call. And to Joe's point, there's a lot of primaries coming up. In fact, in Ohio, there's a primary the first part of May. These primaries are just around the corner, depending on what state you live in. Texas coming up in March, next week. Maybe the week after that. But it's coming up. Need to be informed and need to be engaged. And one of the ways we do that is through our culture impact teams to help Christians, number one, be registered to vote, and number two, know how to vote from the standpoint of just where the candidates stand on the issue. What Joe says is so important. Let's not throw away our votes just by voting for someone who has an R by their name or a D. Vote for someone based upon the knowing where they stand on the important issues. You've got to vote. And I agree. I don't give any money to the Republican or any of the party establishments. Give it to those who vet the candidates, support candidates that you would support. All right, let's go to Texas. Speaking of elections, we'll go to Texas where George is on the line. George, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for having me. Hey, you know, if I wasn't driving that stand-up in class, that Papa John's was leaving the NFL. And I sure wish a lot of other sponsors and businesses would do the same thing until the NFL makes it loud and clear. But, hey, you work for us. Paid for by the people, the public, in America. So they need to fix their rules before I become a fan again.
All right, George, thanks for the call. I got to underscore the importance of communicating back to these corporations when they do the right thing to communicate, yeah, hey, I applaud you, like George was just saying. So, and the same thing like with Delta, you know, when they're weighing into issues, communicate with them. Let them know. Vote with your dollars. Again, second vote. Actually, I was going to try to have David Black on because David is actually headquartered here in Tennessee. Second vote, a great tool, resource to know where these corporations stand on so many of the important issues. And you can go to secondvote.org, download that app. All right, let's go to Louisiana where Daniel is on the line. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Mr. Perkins? How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. Yourself?
Well, I'm struggling with sore throat, but I want to say thank you for Ms. Kim Davis, if she can hear. I'm so proud of her for her stand. Also, I also wanted to say I agree with Bob John's decision to advertise with the NFL about the national anthem controversy.
So you're going to pick up a Papa John's pizza this weekend?
I'm thinking about it. I'm listening to my wife, and I don't do.
Yeah, well, just don't fly Delta when you go get it. All right, Daniel, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening. 866-372-7234, the number to call. We got a few more moments to work in a couple more calls. You know, the bottom line drove this. And they made very clear when they cut ties with the NFL is that it was affecting business. Well, you know what? That's what businesses are in. That's why they're there. They're to do business. I wish more businesses would simply stick to providing the service or the product and leave the policy issues to someone else. Let's go to Kansas, where Gail is on the line. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I would just like to say I hope Papa John's sales go out the roof for standing up for their Christian beliefs. And I'm so glad that a Christian team won the Super Bowl. And we've got ways of doing things if we just stick to our guys like the Kim Davis did. I just want to thank you and all your crew for all you do and keep spreading the word good. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Gail. Appreciate that. Somebody said, any way you slice it, this is good news. Papa John's is cutting ties with the NFL. Look, as consumers, we need to be responsible stewards of everything we have. And if we have a choice, we should spend our money with those who represent our values. And that's one of the reasons I shop at a local grocery store. I avoid the big box stores. You know, Walmart, I've had my issues with Walmart and their policies, and they've continually drifted to the left. You know, I shop at a grocery store, Oak Point, locally owned. They have a few stores. Christian, they give back to the community. They support churches. And I just think there's almost every community has something like that. And if you can do business with local businesses that reflect and support the values of the community, do so. That makes a difference. Your dollars have a tremendous impact on undergirding those who stand. They represent your values, or they stay out of the fight. The last thing you want to do is be giving your money to those who are actually working against you. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. We mentioned several things today, one being the movie, Tortured for Christ, that's coming out Monday. One day only in about 550 theaters across the country. Check it out, see if it's going to be in your community. Got to get your tickets online. So go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. There'll be some follow-up events that will be taking place in churches when they host it. But a very important point that Steve brought up about communism. Millennials have forgotten what communism is. It's not been in our vocabulary. They know about radical Islam, but not communism. This is an educational opportunity. So check that out. And Kim Davis's book, follow the links over and get a copy of Kim's book, Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining us. Lord willing, we're going to be back tomorrow evening, right here, same place, from the NRB convention floor. I hope you will join us. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.